Welcome, everyone, to the Pirate Studio Podcast, the Brooklyn edition. I am your host, Kimi, and today we have in the house with us rapper extraordinaire from Staten Island, originally from Harlem.
Yes.
You Hefner in the house. Clap
what's
it up,
up,
everybody.
What's up, everybody?
So let me introduce you, Hefner, to everybody. So I just met you today, and he is extremely charismatic and personable, and we are going to get to know a little bit about him and his reasoning for rapping, right? Because we know that you do some other stuff.
Yes.
So we'll start off really quick and easy.
Okay.
Why are you rapping? Why does the rap game need you?
Well, why the rap game needs me is because I'm different, and I bring it back to that essence of hip hop, to where I bring substance, relatable situations, and I'm definitely somebody you can relate to, somebody you need to hear. You know why I rap? It's because rapping is me. Where I'm from is hip hop. You know, my mother used to rap. She taught me how to rap when I was 7 years old.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? And I've been rapping ever since. So, you know, this is in my DNA right here.
Did your mother ever release music?
No, she never released nothing. It was just something that she liked to do. You know, my mother was originally, she's from Harlem. And she was around all the Curtis Blows and all of that stuff, that era. So, you know, that was a hobby of hers, you know. She had me. My dad was a hustler with some of the big hustlers in Harlem. And, you know, they just was around all that stuff. They was around a lifestyle. So she did. That was something she did for fun.
I know you talk about your parents being around it. Were you exposed to it as well?
As far as, like, the music?
As far as music, just Harlem life in particular, right? Or in general.
So they moved out here. They moved to Staten Island to get away from a lot of the stuff that was going on in Harlem around that time. I mean, it's stuff we could talk about now. Like, you know, my pops was around the whole Paid in Full era and stuff like that. And a lot of stuff was going on. And I was born, you know, so they came to Staten Island for a better life. They didn't want none of that stuff for me. So was I exposed to, they didn't expose me to no life of crime or hustling or nothing like that. They taught me the best. They you know, they raised me to be a good man, a good gentleman, you know, with morals, principles, and values. But as far as what they, did expose me to was the love for music, the love for hip hop. My father was somebody who blasted the music all day. He, in the car, he's playing Curtis Mayfield at the top volume, and I'm hiding in the car like, no. You know, but, you know, and then with the rap and stuff like that, yeah, they exposed me to music. Number positive stuff they exposed me to.
I love the household that your mother and father curated for you. So besides your mom and dad exposing you to different types of music, because you just said Curtis Mayfield, who were some of your biggest influences growing up or even throughout teenage and adult years?
Okay. So me being in Staten Island, I'm from Park Hill. So Wu-Tang was very big growing up, and these are guys that we seen on the block. These are guys that grew up with our family members, and you come outside and see Method Man on the block, or, you know, Ghostface and stuff, and we the kids that was in the videos, you know, when they had the little ones in the videos. I'm in some of the videos as
a kid. Are you?
Yeah.
Which videos were you in?
So RZA, Ghostface, and Isaac Hayes. I forgot the name of the song. I think it's Brooklyn Baby. Is it Brooklyn Baby? One of them. I don't know. But I was outside that day, and you know, I was in a video. Then Can It All Be So Simple? We was all behind the back of the building, 320, 350 back in the day. So we seen a lot of that stuff, and it was like we see them outside, then we go watching BET, MTV, and they on TV. It was like it was proof to us that you could really live your dream if you put the work in. So, you know, them, and then Dipset, me living in Harlem, I see Jim Jones outside, Cam outside. I watched them blow up, like, you know, to playing basketball tournaments, you know, with their little bros and stuff like that, and just seeing them. It was just proof that we could do it. So the rappers that I listen to that I like, you know, of course, Wu-Tang, you know what I mean? But then Dipset came, took over, and took over, but as far as the type of music changed, you know what I mean? It went from that to Dipset stuff, them, the Lox, you know, Jay-Z, the whole Rockefeller.
I think Jim would love to hear you say that right now. Do you think he's better than Nas?
I mean, I'm going to say this. I'd rather listen to a Jim Jones record before I listen to a Nas record, and that's only because of the swag, the charisma. I could relate to Jim Jones more. Now, is Nas a better artist? Of course, everybody agrees that Nas may be a better artist as far as lyrically and the type of stuff he does, but as far as likable, Capo got it.
What you mean likable?
I mean Nas is likable. I mean, as far as the swag and the personality, and Jones talked the talk that we want to hear, and not taking nothing from Nas. Nas is cool. Nas got swag, all that. You know what I mean? Nas is more or less gonna teach you. Mm-hmm. He gonna make you think. And that's cool if you in that mood. But when you hear Jones is talking about the stuff that's going on in the streets, and you know he's talking about, I don't know, the life that we lived. Like, we, you know.
So, in other words, sure, you can't eat no books, right?
That's hilarious. Kids can't eat no books, dog.
Sure, you can't eat no books, yo.
That's funny.
So, do you think that... So, when you have to think about your rap style, do you take those things into consideration? So, you see how some people, they think of Nas as, oh, if I want to learn, I'm going to listen to Nas. But Nas isn't only about just learning. Nas is telling stories just like everybody else, right? Yeah. But he has, they put him in this box of, oh, Nas is the teacher. Jimmy is fashion, or he's going to talk about the streets. Jay, Pusha, luxury rap. Mm-hmm. You're going to get nice coke lines, you're going to get some things like that. Mm-hmm. When you think of your style, did you say, I don't want to be like X, Y, or Z. I want to be in this lane. Where does you, Hefner, fall in those categories?
So I think, right, I just make music. And I've been around for a while. I've been through all eras of hip-hop. And I make relevant music. I make drill, hip hop, everything. And I've been influenced by a lot of different kind of styles of rap. So I just be myself. And music is a mood thing. Mm-hmm. So I feel like how you feeling at the moment is the type of song you're going to make. If we in a party type of vibe, feeling like we're going to make a party song. Or if we feel like beating somebody up, this might be a gangster song today, you know, whatever it is, you know. And I just look at myself as a versatile artist. There's nothing that I can't do. I even write R&B. I can't sing if my life depended on it, but I write R&B.
Me
too.
Either. I wish I could sing.
Me too.
Oh my God. I hate that I can't sing.
Hey, I wish I could too.
Okay, so what can we expect from you? Do you have a new mixtape coming out, a new album? Are you working on an album or an EP? What are you working on now? What should we look for?
So I got a few things coming out right now. I have a whole album with my brother, Hands On. Mm-hmm. From Hands On, he's somebody... who I grew up under, who worked with Wu-Tang a lot. He does the Meth Lab projects with Method Man and stuff. I did an album with him that should be coming out soon. I also got a single with Dice Peso coming out this summer.
Okay, what's the name of that one?
Wouldn't Change. Shout out to Dice Peso and Vamp Life, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, Jim Jones, whole crew, and Boss Bread, stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Oh, so you tied in. That's why you saying all this stuff about Jimmy.
No. I mean, I know Dice, you know. Do I really know Jim Jones? Not like that. You know, when I see him, it's love, salute. But, I mean, we don't really have a relationship. But, you know, I respect him because I watched this come up. I remember coming outside when I was in Harlem and him being on the block and stuff like that to... going all the way to where he was. So I respect him the same way I feel about Wu-Tang. Like, if you ask me about Method Man, I think Method Man is one of the best rappers ever. You know what I mean? And for him to be at the age he's at and still have bars is crazy.
I was watching older interviews from other rap artists, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all week, because, like, I like to study certain things and see the way how we've changed over the years. And it's so funny. I was watching a random interview of Pusha T. It's old. Mm-hmm. Oh, before Daytona even came out. Mm-hmm. And the interviewer asked him, how do you feel about rap battles now? And at that time, like years ago, he goes, it's too corporate now. We have record labels protecting artists and so, you can't say what you want to say. And then fast forward to right now to 2025, they just did another interview. I won't say with which platform, but they... they said that he had a rap committee. I could be saying this wrong, but there is like a lyric. Sorry. It was called a lyrics committee. Whereas people are monitoring the things that you are saying within your lyrics. Wow. Does that, when you hear things like that, does that make you want to stay on an independent side, or does it make you say, I don't care who's going to be monitoring my lyrics. I'm still going to I'm still gonna try to fight towards...
Learn something. Learn what bars is.
Yeah, but no. Your bars are what they're monitoring, right? You can be spitting great stuff. And then someone can just come over the top and say, you know, that doesn't fall in line with what we're trying to do here.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah? So does that make you say, I want to stay independent? Or do you say, it doesn't matter, I'm still going to try to get signed by a bigger label?
So at this point, of course everybody would love to get the help from the labels.
Yeah, the push, the machine.
You get the push, the machine behind you and stuff. But at this day and age, does it really matter?
Does it? That's what I'm asking. Does it matter?
You know, it takes away from the art of you being yourself. A lot of people are puppets, industry puppets, and that's something I don't want to be. I don't want to be an industry puppet. You're not going to make me put on a dress. You're not going to make me, no disrespect to the people who do, you know, salute to y'all, but I want to be myself. And I've been in situations before where I've had opportunities to where I didn't take because I didn't have creative control.
Okay. Give me an example.
So basically, like, man, listen, look, I'm gonna keep it a buck, right? So,
why are you laughing?
I was with at one point, I had an opportunity to sign with 36 Chambers, and 36 Chambers is a label ran by RZA from Wu-Tang. Yeah. Shout out to RZA and stuff like that. And I did a lot of music around that time, and of course, the music was cool, but the music would have been fire in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
At that time, that's not what I really was into.
Meaning, like, it sounded dated.
It was dated. Okay. But when you're dealing with an entity, as far as the W, they have a sound.
Right.
And with all respect to that sound, there's nothing really wrong with it, but that's just not what I wanted to do at that moment because that wasn't what was relevant. I tried to stay relevant.
Okay.
And you gotta change with time. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't really have creative control over certain stuff, you know, and I just didn't like that. I don't think the labels are, unless they're giving you a bunch of money and a bunch of this, you know, it's okay to be independent. And we was just talking about this earlier when I was saying labels go to the bank to get that money they're about to give you. If you get your credit right, and you become a business, and you learn how to become a businessman in the entity yourself, a big name, you could go fund yourself. You could go get that loan and do that. You can, you know, independent is always the best way to be, is independent.
Okay.
You got creative control, all of that.
Okay. So then, what do you look forward to the most? Or, let me rephrase that. You have a song coming out with Dice Peso in the summer. And I'm pretty sure you have other features lined up for yourself. Mm-hmm. And eventually you have either an EP or a full-fledged album.
Yes.
What other goals are you looking forward to throughout this year and maybe over the next 5 years that you're willing to, that you want to accomplish?
So, short term is just staying consistent and growing the buzz. Mm-hmm. Growing the buzz to where it should be. And of course, you know, everybody wants to be the top, one of the top guys, one of the top rappers. You want to hit to be the mainstream artist. And you know, as far as like we were just talking about with the deal, of course I would love to, I'm not going to say I want to stay independent, I would love to get a deal, you get what I'm saying? But if it don't happen, I'm not stressing over that, because you can still reach that level independently. So some of the things that I'm going to, not trying to accomplish, things that I'm going to accomplish, things that I've accomplished already. Mm-hmm. I do have some features. I got some big records that I haven't released yet. I got a record with Method Man. Shout out to him. Mm-hmm. You know, a record with Mac Wiles. record with my brothers.
Super Bizzle. Underrated, Mac Wiles.
Yeah, that's
super
my boy. Underrated. Shout out to him. Maggie.
No, he's really talented. I thought that he was going to be... I really thought that he was going to do what Chris Brown would... I mean, maybe I'm overstepping, right?
No, no.
But I thought that single that he had... what was the name? Own It?
Yeah.
I thought that was it. Okay, so then... Here's what I'll ask you, because he's super duper talented, right? And so are you. You're welcome. What do you do to get the buzz? Remember back in the day, right? Artists used to write for other artists, and that's what kept them around, and then eventually they got their push into the spotlight, whether by choice or by force, you know? What do you do? Are you writing for other artists right now? Are you utilizing social media? Mm-hmm. What are you doing to create an additional buzz about yourself?
I wrote for a few artists. I'm not going to put them out there.
Don't do it yet.
Mess up your bag.
Yeah, don't do it yet.
I mean, to stay out there is more or less just being outside.
Okay.
You know, you got to stay working. I've learned to use social media a lot more. I never cared about social media. I'm somebody at one point had a big buzz just off of word of mouth. You know, I was on 106 in Park back in the days with the Freestyle Friday stuff. And when I did that, my buzz was crazy. I was going to.
He doesn't have not one gray hair, guys. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I think I got one in my nose. I pull it out every day.
And two more grow. But keep going.
But just staying relevant, you know, showing up, showing out. And like I said, now I'm using social media and, consistency. People want to hear. One thing about good music is it sells itself. That's true. When people like what they hear, like recently we put something out and it went viral.
Oh, good. Everybody, what's the name of that one?
That one was not Red Light, Green Light. It was the other one. Me and You and Cash.
Oh, Clifton Gates.
Clifton Gates. So it went viral social media on YouTube. It doesn't have that much views on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But because it did so crazy on social media, we got like thousands of views on social media. And that's because people loved what we did on that. You know, it was bars. It was catchy. You know, it was cool. And then at the same time, people love drama. And we came at a few people. So that's probably what you're talking about.
That is what I'm talking about.
And it was friendly fire, you know what I mean? Shout out to those guys. You know, rap is a competitive sport, and I'm somebody who battle rapped a lot. You know, I battled some of the great battle rappers like Kayshawn and Rosenberg Raw, a few of them. My brother CP over here, he battled, you know, a lot of big names and stuff like that. And this is what we do. You know, rap comes from battling. It comes from that. So, you know, people love drama. They love the controversy.
Okay. I love what you're saying. So, in other words, so you're going to use controversy to drive the engagement?
I mean, that's part of it. I don't get caught up in the controversy too much.
Okay.
But, yeah, I do. Like, you know, some every now and then somebody calls you out or feel like they better, and you got to show them who still got the torch,
Who's
know?
Who?
You got to show, you got to let them know. So, but that, and, you know, staying relevant. Also, the people you around, like when we was younger, they always say the people you surround yourself around is most likely the people who you end up being like, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to obtain a position in this industry, you going to be on the block all day?
No.
Or you going to start being around people in the industry? You're going to start moving around and start rubbing shoulders and making relationships with people in the industry, learning and doing what you got to do, you know what I mean? That's all part of it.
I hear that. So I know, now I remember. I'm like, it was Method Man's daughter that I saw you with. That's who I was like.
Yeah, that's the sis. Shout it up.
Because I'm like, I know you from somewhere. But anyway, so all right. So we talked about social media. We talked about utilizing it and YouTube and all of those good things, and you know, working with other artists. What you have coming up.
Yeah, right. So that Dice Peso record will be out more late in the summer.
Okay. And let me see. I was trying to think if there's anything else that I wanted to cover with you guys, but I think we're all good. Oh, one last thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why is your name Hugh Hefner?
I'm your baby mama's favorite big bag.
No.
My real name is Hugh.
Okay.
So growing up, like, people was, they called me Huge, Hug, like, oh, they didn't know how to say my name and pronounce it. I'm like, I'd be like Hugh Hef. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And then me growing up, like I said, like, I always had a thing for the ladies and Hugh Hef, the ladies man and all of that stuff. So I was just like, you know what? My name might as well just be Hugh Hef.
How many girlfriends do you have right now?
Oh, nah. Right now, I'm engaged. I'm being a good man.
Oh, good for you.
I got a baby
you.
On the way.
Good. You know what I mean? Congratulations.
Thank you, my little man.
I feel a name change coming.
Oh, yeah, my name shit got to change. I'm always going to be Hugh Hef at heart. But you know what?
What?
You could still be a charismatic ladies man. But as long as you faithful, as long as you got morals and principles, and as long as you still being a good man, you know, like, to make music for the ladies don't mean I'm doing things.
That's
know?
Right. Exactly. I'm with you.
Okay.
Love that
so,
for you.
You know, shout out to my baby girl, man. You know, it's
congrats.
All
congrats. Yeah, yeah. And congrats on the engagement.
Thank you. Thank
all
you.
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Hugh Hefner, for coming through to the Pirate Studios in Brooklyn.
I really appreciate you. Thanks.